today's episode, Liz and I talk about regrets. It turns out professionals discuss different types and what they mean. We all have them, but how much time should we spend dwelling on them? What can we learn from them? And how can they make us better as we move forward in our marriage? Find out on today's episode of Stronger Marriage Connection. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. The doctors are in. I'm psychologist Liz Hale, along with Professor Dave Schramm, and we are dedicating our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. This is really a kind of an interesting subject matter for me. When it comes to living life to its fullest, Dave, we often hear the words and the directive, no regrets, right? Living life without any regrets. But what if instead of living a life without regrets, we embraced them? Mm-hmm. What if the past could be used to live a better life today and going forward? So I wanted to talk with you, Dave, about this interesting, largest quantitative study that's been ever done on the American attitude of regret. You know, that maddening, perplexing, and undeniably real emotion. It points to the way of a life well lived. What do you think about that?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I'm excited about our topic today, Liz, to dive into a little bit about this, the research on this and what we can learn and take away from this, because regret really is one of the most powerful human emotions that we can experience. And one of the most, I would say, misunderstood as well, because the truth is all of us have regrets. And so when we say, you know, live life with no regrets, I have regrets. I assume you have regrets. I think our listeners have some regrets. And so we experience this, but it's really more about what we'll talk about today, what we take away. What can we learn from those? Not necessarily dwell on those, but maybe being more open to that emotion and to that feeling. Because I think ultimately, Liz, it can benefit our decision making moving forward when we can look back and maybe learn from some of our regrets. I did some research when I was at the University of Missouri as a professor there. I surveyed over 400 empty nest parents. So these are parents who have been there, they've done that, they've looked back now on their life, and they shared some advice. You know, what advice do you have now that I kind of picture them up on this mountain? They've made it to this mountain. They're looking down and they see these parents who are at these, we had 2, 4, 6, and 8 year olds at one time, Liz. So it was really tough when my mom would say, oh, you know, Dave, just enjoy every moment, you know, while they're young. And I'm like, hey, you enjoy it, grandma, right? Here, take this 2 year old for the weekend. Cause it was really hard. So I surveyed these empty nesters. And I say, what is it that, looking back, what is it that you regret? I don't want to cause these feelings of, you know, shame and guilt that can take us there if we allow them. But I really genuinely wanted to learn. As a parent myself, I wanted to be the very best dad I could be. So I asked these empty nesters, and they said things like, you know, they regret being too harsh and yelling too much and not spending enough time and attention and going to their ball games and things. So, yeah, do we all have regrets? I think we do. I think that there's personal regrets. I think there's some relationship regrets, maybe things that we've said or done in a relationship. But it's important not to just dismiss or ignore some of those emotions of you, as you're going to talk about, as we'll discuss today on this episode, but really to absorb it, to think about it, to accept it, to be comfortable with it, and then to be able to move forward with it.
Yeah. And how do we move forward with it, right? Like this group of parents you studied, I love that. That it's impressive, Dave. What did they find would be useful to them in looking at regret, feeling the disappointment of like, oh man, I lost my cool a few times.
Yeah.
Now what do they do with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. A couple of things from the research that we did. One, I suggested this, that they look back and say, you know what? I did the very best that I could with what I knew at the time, because with relationship knowledge, parenting knowledge, things change. We learn more. We have more access. We have the internet now, right? When I was a first parent, we didn't have the internet even. So we have a lot more access to things is number one. But number two is I think that some parents will get, maybe it's called a do-over, you know, as a grandparent, that they have more, maybe more patience, more tolerance, that they have more gratitude. What they ultimately have is a different perspective. And I think that maybe is a theme for today, Liz, as we talk about, is our perspective. How we review regrets the empty nesters, or even as a grandparent, and how they treat and how they maybe spend more time that they didn't have with their kids on their grandkids. And so a lot of these things that we'll be talking about today comes back to living a life of maybe with regrets, but with a proper perspective.
So curious about your mom's advice to you, right? Just treasure the moments, just really milk these. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering where that came from, you know, her longing maybe in those days, or might be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
Would that be your same advice to your kids who are now starting to get married and one day they'll have children? Would you suggest that same thing about treasuring and milking those early moments, even though they're hard?
Yeah, I would say, number one, first, be patient with yourself. Be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself, because sometimes when we mess up in our relationships or as parents, we are our worst critics. We tend to find our own flaws, right, in what we do. In fact, just yesterday, Liz, I'll point out this example with our daughter, and she was in a church meeting, and she's talking, and then she gets done, and she just felt so horrible. I was like, I sent her a text. I'm like, that was amazing, but she was looking at the flaws. We're so critical of ourselves, and so I let her know, oh my gosh, that was amazing. You did so good. So being able to find and notice the positive, because our brains are wired for the negative. We actually have to be five times as more positive with ourselves and with our partner in our marriage. So we have to focus on and find the positive, because the negative is very, very powerful. And that's true when it comes to regrets as well.
Ah, she was having such regrets after her talk, huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't it just make you painful when someone you love so much is beating themselves up? It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet we do it to ourselves. I think, Dave, you know what I think we should have a topic on once is on self-compassion.
Oh, that's an important one. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Every time I see self-compassion, you know, like Kristen Neff's work.
Yeah.
I've just kind of looked away like, oh, I don't really need self-compassion.
Yeah.
It's so funny, but I absolutely do need it. You know, probably am one of the worst. I so get it. You know, my biggest concern with how we're addressing painful emotions like regret or even depression and anxiety is that we spend a great deal of energy towards not feeling bad, right? Like it's some terrible thing to feel bad. Instead, I think we really need to make peace with these emotions. We need to, in other words, get good at feeling bad. According to this great author, Daniel Pink, he's a researcher as well. He wrote The Power of Regrets. He combed over research in not just psychology, but neurology, economics, biology, and there are basically three common conclusions and responses to regret, and they each leave us with a different result. The first one is that regretful feelings can just be ignored. That didn't happen. I don't like to look at that part of my life. Like, no, right? Put the blinders on, put blindfolds over my own eyes. I don't want to see that. I kind of want to live in the delusion that that didn't really happen. The second option is that regretful feelings could be wallowed in, right? Creating just utter despair. Like, I can't believe I did that. I'm so ashamed. I've ruined my life. I don't think my parents can forgive me or my family can forgive me. I don't think I can forgive myself even. Then the third option is that regretful feelings could be addressed. What's the discovery? What have I learned about myself? We all have regrets, like you said. And so what's the message and the meaning so that I can go forward? Maybe I can teach others the regrets that I have so that they could perhaps avoid some of that pain and suffering. And what can I do moving forward for myself? I never want to forget the lessons of the past.
Liz, I agree. We really need to get to this point where we can reclaim regret as this indispensable emotion, that all emotions are good, right? All emotions are, we're humans. That's actually what makes us human. That fish swim and birds fly, but people feel. And yes, it's okay to be able to look back and to feel this regret. What we don't want to do is we don't want to minimize it as much as we want to optimize it, if that makes sense. When we think of regret as a signal or kind of this knock at the door, it's a powerfully transformative, really, emotion. Emotion, and you probably know this, Liz, comes from the Latin, and it means to move through or to move out, but it's actually to move us. So it's essentially a signal that say, hey, we need to do something. Don't just sit with this emotion and sulk on it, right? And as you talked about, this despair and wallow in it, but actually feel it and then maybe follow a different direction. Okay, now what after that emotion?
I often tell my clients, best way to deal with emotion is motion. So I didn't even know that. It came from the Latin word. I really love that. Even motion of moving your mind, right? Motion of moving it unstuck from the wallowing or just the total disregard of like, wait a minute, this is rich. I'm going to use it for my life. I don't want to make anything ever feel wasted. How is this going to teach me? I think we need the ability to regret our poor decisions, you know, just to feel bad, essentially, like, oh man, I'm really just going to take that on because I don't want to miss it. That's how we can improve these decisions in the future.
Yeah, you're hitting on this, Liz. Self-compassion, we'll come back to that with Kristen Neff and some of her work. That great book. It's key. You know, if a friend disclosed to you, you know, the same regret, how would you treat them? How would you talk to them about it? Would probably have a lot more compassion, like I did right for my daughter, and say, oh my goodness, no. But when it comes to us and I blow it, then I'm a lot more down on myself. And it's hard to have, come back to that word, that perspective, to see it from a different angle. And so that's what we're talking about here. If you can kind of put it through the friend test, what would I tell a friend who made a similar, you know, mistake or was embarrassed in front of people or made a poor choice, you know, backed in, rear-ended into somebody that backed out of the parking lot and they have this huge regret? How would you treat them? And then maybe, okay, pause and have some of that self-compassion for yourself.
The best friend test. You know, the study found that that's probably one of the more powerful angles to take is, what would you say to a best friend?
Yeah.
I really like that. Find that silver lining. You know, the silver lining doesn't negate the existence of a cloud, but it does offer another perspective on that cloud. The study uses a lot the words at least, right, to describe the silver lining. For so someone might have a regret about not continuing their college education. So they might say, I regret not going to college or not finishing, but at least I have zero college debt.
Oh yeah.
You know, at least I'm not wallowing in that debt.
Yeah. I have some of those regrets. Liz, looking back, I regret probably, several things, but here's a few that I'll point out. I regret when I was younger, not learning more about cars. My dad even kind of knew about cars. My dad is a really good handyman. I regret not learning, you know, how to do drywall or how to put up this or that or to create some of that now. But at least he taught me. He taught me how to treat my mom, right? He taught me how to be a good person, a good husband and father, and how to work hard and to plant a garden. So at least I took those things away from him. So I like that. I like that, you know, I regret, but at least. I think those are key words through this. We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Let's dive right in.
Nice. And not focusing on, why didn't my dad teach me drywall?
Yeah. Right.
Why didn't he take the time to teach me how to fix a toilet? Yeah, I really do get that. And I value that too. We all have regrets. I think, you know, one of my bigger regrets, as I've talked to you before, is getting married in my 20s. Mm. It was just not the right decision for me. And I almost knew enough to not do it. But at least that marriage was voided, annulled, and at least I learned about myself, both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. At least I can understand when someone sits across from me and they too have had betrayal or disappointed themselves. Even I really do understand that. At least I can compare that experience to the experience today of being married, mm-hmm, and really value my husband. We were just talking to our engineer, Rex, who, you know, was saying this very thing about, to know one is to know the other, to know you got to know bitter to know the sweet. And I don't know any other way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people. So I would say also, at least I didn't have children. Another person who had been married and had their family would say, at least I have these three great kids and I'm so grateful for that. So it's going to be different for everyone. At least doesn't work in every category, but I think it is important just to recognize them. Regrets are worldwide, and this impressive study really shows it. The same author, Daniel Pink, he has this cool survey online. It takes 3 minutes, Dave. I think we should all do it.
I'm going to do it.
It's the World Regret Survey. And so far, 19,000 regrets from individuals living in 100-plus countries have been collected in an effort to better understand this mysterious emotion. It's an extraordinary treasure trove. You know, not only can you go on there and put, like, my biggest regret was marrying in my 20s. You can use it anonymously, but then you get to see, in your state or other parts of the world, other regrets is just kind of a smattering of regrets. And there's something about just writing it down, right? And just acknowledging it that takes some of the sting and the power out of it.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that there's kind of power in numbers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
It reminds me a little bit of going to online dating. It was reassuring just to know that I was not the only one out there.
Yeah.
I'm not alone in my singleness when I was single, and I'm not alone in my regrets. Many people might regret going to online dating, but the point is, you're not alone in your feelings, period. Sometimes when I feel that way, when I feel really like bad about something, I think, I know intellectually I'm not the only one in the world that feels this way or has had something similar. I know I'm not the only one. And for whatever reason, that brings me comfort. Or if I think, I know a family member has been through something similar, a grandparent or a great uncle even.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Just discussing them sometimes relieves the burden, right?
Yes.
It defames them a little bit. Have you ever heard that? They defames them when you write them out or when you speak them out.
Yeah.
And that starts the sense-making process.
Yeah. I love that, Liz, that we're not alone in our relationship with some of these relationship regrets. When you think about, man, I really shouldn't have said that, or I can't take that back now. We're going to do some things. Yeah, and I think it's instead of saying, what was burned from this, it's what can be learned from this moving forward. So glancing back, but I think facing forward and moving through some of that. So around the world, you talk about this study, the survey, people continue to express, often these are kind of lumped together. You look at these 19,000, you kind of start doing some groupings, and they can be lumped together into, we'll talk about four core regrets and the kind of these if onlys, right? If onlys, some of these four if onlys. The first one is foundation regrets. This is, I wished I'd made better decisions with finances, early on, or education or health. Some of these choices looking back. So there's a man who regrets not saving and investing money, from the start of his career. And he now speaks to other young first-time employed individuals, inspiring them by showing them what to do. If you invest a little bit, even though you don't make a lot right now, but if you invest a little bit now or a certain percentage, or try this, experiment with that. Because I learned looking back, now I want to help the next generation. Kind of reminds me of the parents, the empty nesters. They said, if I could go back, I would do this. I would invest more time or read and slow down. So it's some of that kind of passing it down. So it's this, if only I'd done the work type of regret. That's that first category, if onlys.
Yeah, the foundation. I love it. The second one is the boldness regrets, right?
Mm.
And this one creates a great deal of pain, maybe the most pain ever. It's the woulda, coulda, shouldas, right? I wish I'd asked somebody out. I wish I'd let my heart be known to that one person. I wish I'd started that business. I wish I'd spoken up. How many times have you not spoken up in a meeting or in a relationship, and then you replay that again and again in your brain? At least I do. Here's what I wish I would have done, wish I would have said. This Daniel Pink talks about something that was really compelling to him about a man and a woman years ago who had shared a train ride. And they, for all intents and purposes, they looked to everybody else like they were dating, if not married. They just really enjoyed the commonalities they had. And after an hour or two on this train, she suddenly gets up and she goes, oh my gosh, there's my stop. I need to go. And she exits the train without, back in the day, no social technology really, as far as texting and phones and all of that, the cell phones. And she left, and he just never forgot that. For 40 years, he wondered, what if I had been bold? Those kinds of things really haunt you, and we don't really know the end result. Sometimes it's our thinking that we know the end, and that would have been the magical relationship. There is no magical relationship. It's what we make it always. But it's interesting what our mind does too.
Yeah.
Boldness. That's a boldness regret.
Yeah. I like that one. The third one, in this big kind of category, are these moral regrets. This is the wrong versus the right action. The things that I shouldn't have done that, should have done this. So looking back, many regret, for example, looking back, bullying, being mean to others, or even in the beginning of our relationship, I wish, the first few years, the newlywed years, I wouldn't have, tried parenting you so much or doing this or that in the relationship. This is the infidelity. This is maybe even getting online and doing those type of moral actions that we know we shouldn't have done, stealing from a grocery store, some of those things we say, you know, what was I thinking? What was I doing? Feeling kind of some of that guilt from some of those. So this is the, if only I'd done the right thing type of regret is that third one.
Those moral regrets are really haunting. And this Daniel Pink was surprised how many times he had seen from adults say that they regret that they were bullies and that they were unfaithful in their relationships. Again and again, he was blown away by the numbers. We just don't really get away with anything in life, do we? We have that conscience or that spirit, whatever it is, that tells us what we're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
It's kind of encouraging in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. With these, it comes back kind of the flip side of this, Liz, if you will, is more of the kindness. You know, bullying, kind of the opposite of that, is this kindness and fidelity, and, you know, having more compassion and treasuring the connection, the relationship that I have. And so I think some of this life lesson is, from this one at least, is you can never regret being too kind or having compassion, of doing those things that you know that you feel are right. Moving forward, we can't change the past, but moving forward, being able to feel it and then follow it as far as kindness and compassion.
Yeah. Oh, and making those apologies. You know, it's never too late sometimes to go back and to revisit high school or junior high, whenever it was. And to make those apologies, now people are pretty accessible. You can find people.
Yep.
And, you know, to let your apologies be known and your regret. The fourth category, and it's the largest category, no surprise, it's the connection regrets. So again, we've got foundation. It's the money and the time and the education and health. I wish I'd taken better care of myself. The boldness. I wish I woulda, coulda, shoulda. The moral regrets. And now the connection regrets. Relationships you long to have or maybe did have and have fallen apart. We fall apart for both reasons of drifting, and we have rifts, right? Drifts and rifts. But we don't reach out because, again, number one, we fear that we're not going to be received, not going to be welcome. It'll be awkward. And that person won't be kind. If only I'd reached out, that's the regret, right? If only I'd done the wrong thing is the moral regret. If only I'd taken the chance is the boldness regret. And if only I'd done the work is the foundation regret. You know, if you were at a juncture in your life, dear listener, or Dave and Liz, and we're thinking about someone, you're wondering, gosh, should I reach out or should I not reach out? The answer is always reach out. Always reach out. Especially at a time like today, we need connections. Reaching out is rarely as awkward as we think it's going to be. And we fear it's going to be, and it's almost always well received, Dave. People really do welcome that because, again, we're not all that different. We also feel like we recognize when we hear from someone after a while, it's like, wow, that was a really bold move of that person to make. That was really brave. And I really appreciate it because I need the healing as well. I've been doing this in my own life. I had an aunt I haven't really talked to much since my uncle. She's a step aunt. That's a weird thing to say, but she was a second wife, and I love her dearly. But we lost some connection, and even though I've kind of always sent her little gifts here and there, we've not really talked on the phone. And at least I couldn't reach her when I did call just this past week after looking at this topic. And at least it felt good to leave a voicemail. You know, at least my voice, and I could express it that way. And I don't know if she just didn't purposely pick up or just wasn't home, but I'll probably try again. There is something that just feels better when you clear out some of those webs of knowing, gosh, I regret that.
Yeah.
I regret that we've lost that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge, Liz. Because come back to the three needs that we all have: safety, satisfaction, and connection. Mm-hmm. I might just bring up a little red flag. So just indulge me here for a moment. When you're talking about, you know, should I reach out? Should I not reach out? I think that's huge in relationships. The caveat, the red flag that I might bring up is,
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Someone on Facebook or this old flame or this person in high school or this, you know, this person, should I reach out? You know, should I not reach out? So that kind of gets back to the moral, you know, regrets going back there. I think, you know, staying faithful. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever regret staying faithful, staying true in those, in those relationships. And so, yeah, I would say with you know, should I reach out or should I not reach out? It's more, and I think we get it, what we're talking about, but I don't want listeners to take it the wrong way and say, oh, well, they said that maybe I should. You only live one, YOLO, you know, I'm just going to reach out to all these people. So being careful, but it's more on the compassion and the kindness and those types of relationships rather than the romantic relationships we're talking about, right?
Sharing, I always say curiosity kills the cat and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
You know, I was so curious about those loves from long ago or whatever happened to so-and-so. Or
yeah.
Some of those relationships are best left unvisited. That is really wise. And if you do visit them, you make it very much in the open, right? Like I went to my 40th high school reunion and Ron was there. We'll just call him Ron. And Ron and I did not go to senior prom, even though I wanted to go with Ron. He would not go with me because I was dating a junior. He wanted me to go with the junior boyfriend, which might have been the right thing to do, but I still regretted that. I think it would have been so much better for two seniors to go to senior prom. But anyway, we visited with that. And then I, you know, heard from him a little bit after and just heard from him last night. And he always, you know, says his texts because he's having some major eye surgery and just had his first grandchild. It's a nice friendship, which is a little unusual for me, but he always says, give your husband my best, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yes. And he sends his best to, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there are ways that we have friendships, but they really have to be very carefully managed, members of the opposite sex. You know, I think we really have to just be very, very wise and be very, very open. Say nothing that I wouldn't want my husband reading or over listening, right? I think that's always a good test too.
Yeah, absolutely. Or else then you'll probably have, more regrets in life. I think the principle really is this, Liz, it's when we understand what we regret the most, we learn what we value the most. Think of it that way, listeners, right? Think about what is it that it's almost like that you don't have conflict unless you care type of a topic. And so it's really, you're regretting it because you value it. And so being able to learn from that, every regret reveals something fundamental about humanity and what we need. We need stability. We need predictability. We need to be able to have this foundation of who we really are as a person and as a couple. We want a chance to learn and grow, and we want to do something. So we recognize that we're not here forever, and we don't want to regret regrets, ultimately, is what
That's
we're
right.
talking about.
Yeah, reimagining them is powerful, though, isn't it?
Yes.
We want to look regret squarely in the eye. That's how we learn and expect regret.
Yeah.
Don't expect to not have regrets. That will lead to a great disappointment and disillusionment. Looking backward can point us forward to a fuller, more meaningful life.
Yeah, absolutely. So Liz, we've talked about this. Let's have a little discussion here at the end as we wrap up. Really about how do we, can we tile, because there's life regrets and there's parenting regrets. Let's talk really about relating this back to the couple relationship. So a listener is saying, okay, you know, there are some in my own relationship, you know, I have these other life regrets. But in my relationship, I imagine, you know, there's some newlyweds who are listening to this and those who are preparing for marriage. There's some who've been married for 40, 50 years and who may be looking back. But having a proper perspective, I'm going to keep coming back to this because when we have proper perspective in our relationships and not dwelling so much, being able to, yes, like my sister has always said, it's okay to look in the rearview mirror of life, but choose not to stare. Choose not to go there, right? To be able to face forward, to learn from and embrace and be comfortable with that regret and not try to, you know, dismiss it and keep putting it under the rug, because the more that we sit there and forcefully try to do that, it's the white elephant. It's going to come to our minds. So I think with relationship regrets, being able to be quick to forgive ourselves, to be able to say, you know what, I blew it and I shouldn't have said that. And I shouldn't have called you out. You know, I shouldn't have, maybe I said, I hate you or something that I just feel like I crossed that boundary and that line and I feel bad. And feeling bad is good for a minute because it moves us again, having that emotion, it moves us forward. But we're not going to be perfect. None of us are perfect. We don't have perfect relationships. So I think one thing is having realistic expectations, Liz, that when we have unrealistic expectations in our relationship, like I'm never going to yell or we're never going to have a fight or anything, that can almost set us up for failure. So having realistic expectations in our relationships and being able to regret something, but then to move forward, to move forward, to experience the bitter, but then to become better from it, I think is really powerful.
That is beautiful. You have all these lovely phrases that just roll off your tongue, Dr. Dave. I love to hear them. I sincerely mean that. I just don't think that any experience ever has to be wasted. Everything teaches us. And to know one is to know the other, to know the bitters, to know the sweet, to know, you know, that tough, difficult marriage I had is to really appreciate the good man that I chose this time. I used to have nightmares that I would go through another annulment. Mm. You know, it would be my second annulment, my third annulment. It's like, I am a marriage therapist and I can't get this right. I would just wake up with a deep sweat. And I didn't want fear to determine that I would never try marriage again.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted it for my life. I was passionate about other people's marriages. I wanted that. I wanted the highs and the lows and to learn and to love someone and to grow old together. And I'm glad that I could put faith over fear.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that everything is perfect. We are still these mere mortals that make these mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's so reassuring, I think, when a partner can say, you know, as we're looking back over life and maybe anniversaries, is we can say, oh, you know, those first years were tough or those first years were great, but this one situation I really regret. Sometimes it's just lovely even to hear our partner's perspective. Mm-hmm. It helps us get to know them in their hearts. Like you said, what we focus on, or excuse me, what we learn about our regrets is that we learn what matters to us, yes. What we value most. And it's quite like music to your ears, even to look at some of those things and to hear your partner's response and to hear you say, I really regret that. And I've learned from it, right? I've learned from that. I can't promise I'll never say such and such again, or I'll never make mistakes, but I'm never going to forget that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get a little bit personal on this one, Liz, because it reminds me. So my wife and I were married. This is the day of our marriage. We're married. And right after that, we go out into the hallway, and there's a drinking fountain, and I go right up and she's behind me, and I take a drink first instead of, like, you know, you come first. And it's kind of funny. I mean, it's right 24 years ago, and it's not necessarily one that I kick myself on, but once in a while I'll be like, man, you know, here I am and here's my wife and I promise I'm going to put you first our whole lives. And then right after that, Liz, I go and I take the drink first. But it's a reminder. I think regrets can serve as a reminder. It can be a reminder to me. I look back and I don't, like, kick myself, but I've learned from it. And I say, you know what? Whenever possible, I'm going to let my wife go first, whether it's through the door or opening this or allow her or get her a drink or the little things, I think. So I think we can turn regrets into reminders of how we do want to be. Looking in the past, it's not bad. I think we can look in the past and find the gems, to find the good in the past, as well as regrets. But I think a date night could even be, you know, looking back, maybe even before our relationship, what life regrets do you have? Is there anything that you wish you would have done? Me, back in high school, I wish I would have played football, for example. You know, does my wife know that necessarily? I don't know if it's this, you know, huge thing, but it's able to create what I call intimacy, and that's into me you see. She's able to see into my soul, and part of my soul is in my past. And if there's these little things maybe that I regret saying or doing, or, you know, it's just a little piece of me that she can peer into and see. Does even what I'm talking about making sense?
Beautiful, because I think the more we are known, the more we're accepted, and the more we feel loved. So to be known is really to feel loved on a deeper level. So I think you're on to something there. Don't you just smile every time you go by a drinking fountain now?
It's this.
I'm going to smile and think of you and Jamie every time I pass by. That's pretty cute.
I need to let her go first. So
I like it.
Well, as we wrap up today, Liz, I think this has been an interesting discussion. I think regrets are important. I think that it's the perspective of how we see these things. What's your takeaway from our discussion today?
Just don't regret regrets. Expect them. They will be there, and they're there to teach us what we value.
Yeah, I love that. I love the at least. I love that there's that part. My takeaway is learn from the at least, and then let regrets be a reminder. Yeah, there is the past, and we shouldn't shove it away or try to, you know, to cover it up, but that's part of who we are, and then we can learn from it, and then focus forward on our lives and on our relationships. And those in newly kind of wed years, if you're listening, hopefully you learn from some of this, that you learn from the mistakes early on, and don't let some of these choices that you have in your life to turn into regrets, because yeah, they can be miserable and they can be heartbreaking. And so putting each other first in your relationship, but realize that you will have some regrets, but let them serve as a reminder. So. Whoa, well, this has been fun, Liz. This has been a great one as we've kind of delved into this a little bit and talking about some of our own little kind of personal regrets, relationship regrets. But I hope, my friends, as you look at this and as you've listened, that you'll do those small and simple little things, those little tiny tweaks. Live the law of little things in your relationships. Moving forward, looking back, and you'll have a greater sense of peace and happiness as you work on your stronger marriage connection. So that's all for now. Thanks for joining us here on Stronger Marriage Connection. We hope to see you next time. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.